And as promised, we have two guests in the studio. We've got Ollie Fry and Nye Russell Thompson.
Hello,
hello, you two. Hiya. The reason I asked you to come in, because I asked you, obviously, you didn't sort of push yourself in any way to get on this show for a free plug, did you?
No, I've got no
idea what you're talking about.
Not at all. Yeah. So I'm going to start with you, though, Ollie, because one of the reasons I did want to chat to you was because both of you have got one-man shows going at the moment, and you, Ollie, were on at Ventnor Arts Club only
two nights ago.
How did it go?
It was just a very sort of a fantastic little venue. It's a really nice kind of what used to be the old Ventnor Bank. Yeah. It's now just, it's very, very plush inside. The chairs are like, they're just, yeah. Oh, it's just like...
What, better than this studio?
Yeah, I know. They've got a budget. it's a wonderful venue. And I did it there for two nights.
What's it called? What's it about?
The show's called iHookie. It's a show it's about two years kind of cooking up, I think. Came to me one night in a stormy tent in Edinburgh.
Yeah, two years ago.
Two years ago. And it kind of just grew from there. Like, it's a piece about childhood and kind of some of my own thoughts about childhood and like growing up, and it's kind of addresses kind of those universal things that, you know, people sometimes are afraid of, kind of, you know, losing their kind of innocence as kids and having to kind of like take responsibilities as adults. And also, you know, as an adult looking back, kind of always thinking that, oh, I want to kind of go back to kind of jumping in puddles because that's fun, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all seen through the guise of Captain Hook from J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan. And it's... it's just I kind of use that kind of like to kind of voice those things because, you know, the whole book's about growing up and stuff, so it's useful kind of metaphor.
Okay, so is it all just you and dialogue, or do you put music in there? Or
it's essentially a 1.5-man show. I'm always on stage with my good old trusty companion Smee the teddy bear. There
is
adorable.
Is that a non-speaking part?
Yeah, he's awful. He took like 80% of the ticket sales from, you know, from the 2 days. It's there's kind of music, there's bits where I kind of talk to people, there's also bits kind of where I pull people out and, you know, just you do something, you know. But it's all done in kind of, you know, a sort of thing to make everyone kind of think, oh, you know.
Okay. And are you pleased with it yourself? Are you happy with it? You've done it a few times now, haven't you?
Yeah, coming from a guy who's kind of really who's the kind of willing to kind of admit that he's got a very flitty kind of mind that kind of like, oh, what's that over there? Oh, that's really fun. And that. Having something that you've worked on for 2 years and kind of finally get to just voice and get to just kind of just do it and experience it is great for me. And if anyone out there who's seen it and feels, you know, some of the things I'm trying to get across, then that's why I do it.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's
Thanks.
Why I do it.
Okay. And Nye, your one-man show. Tell us all about that one.
Okay. Well, I call it Just a Few Words. It is a show about this person with a severe stammer trying to tell someone how he feels about them, with sort of all sorts of weird theatrical cues taken as well. Like I believe there's about 150 A3 signs involved, which I have to rewrite.
Really?
After okay, so basically at the end of the Fringe Festival in August, the signs were so grubby that I had to throw them all away. and now I'm in the process still of
sad
rewriting
Instagram
them.
Picture that.
Sad Instagram picture. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go into that. But yeah, sort of essentially, I wanted to make a piece of theatre about sort of stammering and social anxiety, and just sort of I just want people to sort of understand that there's more to stammering than the physical, you know, side to it. Yeah. There is a massive, massive anxiety that comes with it. And so I just wanted to sort of explore that with the audience. And there's a lot of, you know, participation involved. I get them to sing at some point. I even get them to stammer themselves, which is very awkward at yeah. first, but you know, yeah. Okay. It's great. It's just yeah,
fantastic. Mm. And you've got great reviews for it, I know, because yes. I've been watching Facebook.
Oh, of course,
well. I've seen you on there. but yeah, seriously, you got nominated for an award, didn't you, at yeah. Edinburgh Fringe?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, that was the Total Theatre Award for shows by an emerging artist or company. Right. And that is not what I expected to get when I went up there, honestly. I just went up there to do it for 18 shows in a row. It was knackering, but really worth it. And then you know, to be then told that you are, you know, up for an award.
Yeah.
It was wow. I mean, although I didn't actually, you know, win it, just being, yeah. you know, nominated sort of, it gives you that boost yeah. of recognition, I guess, and then that self-confidence to say, right, well, now I'm going to take this to these places, and it's great. It's just a good, you know, a good sense of being validated, I guess, which a lot of artists need.
Yeah.
At some point. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. So well done. Well, it takes courage, doesn't it, to do a one man show?
That, absolutely.
That's what's in my mind. Mm. To do that,
you got to have a couple. You have to have a few screws loose somewhere. Yeah. I think to do it.
Really? Oh hell yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So? Is that right?
I mean, oddly enough,
you're just being a bit flip. It's more than that, isn't it?
I mean, I was having a conversation with someone today. I cut across this so badly. I'm so sorry.
No, fine,
you can
please.
You can do it later. You can do it later.
Go for it. Go for it.
Go on. I have to drive you. I have to take you places. Yeah, it's. I had a conversation with someone today. Like the whole kind of thing. Like, you know, they came up to me after the show and said, like, watching that, I now know more about you.
Right.
And they started saying that things like, you know, you talking normally. Sometimes, you know, it's. I think he was trying to say basically, you know, kind of some people kind of, you know, verbal communication is they kind of struggle with, and it's kind of like, you know, they always kind of think, oh, if only I said that, if only I said that, if only I did that.
Yeah.
And it's always a case of like, oh, missed opportunity kind of thing. And getting a chance to just show an idea and show what you think of something and show show your passion for something.
Yeah. Yes. Yes,
I think sometimes reveals more
that's
than
the key,
yeah.
Is there a sort of a link between the two of you, the sort of subjects that you've chosen? Because you're talking about sort of maybe challenges of childhood, and yours is a personal thing about the obstacles you've had to overcome.
Is that
fair that there's a lot of that in both of these pieces, and there was a sort of motivation for both of you to want to do it?
Yes.
But that's what interests me, is where that comes from. Why? Because lots of people have obstacles. Mm. Why is it that you two have chosen to do one-man shows about it? I'm fascinated by the whole subject.
Yeah, well, I'd say... first, I'd say that theatre sort of offers quite a good platform for expression. So sort of, you know, if there's something that you've been thinking about for a long, long part of your life, but you've not found the right way to express it, then just write it down, make a piece of theatre about it. You know, I mean, fine, it can just exist in your head for 2 years, you know, like with iHookie. But then, you know, once you finally realise it on stage, sort of, you know, there's a genuine, you know, catharsis, a sort of a proper, you know, like release when you sort of you realise that you've expressed, you know, some part of yourself that you haven't been able to before.
Yeah, it's the ultimate vehicle for just saying, for doing something truthful. It really is. And that's why it's always so important to do it.
And actually I'd say that with sort of a lot of, you know, young people, and indeed a lot of young men today, there is a problem with people keeping things to themselves and not sort of, you know, not really, you know, telling people enough about this sort of, I don't know, maybe the sort of the sadder or the darker side of their life.
There's massive kind of context. I mean, that's something I cover in mine about the whole kind of, you know, you're always forced to kind of repress these things and just get on with it, you know, what are we doing, because you have to kind of always appear kind of strong and assertive. That's how society likes to kind of make you look, you know.
And indeed, you know, like when you when you've made a piece about stammering, for example, you know, if you have a stammer and you want to say something, you know, oftentimes you just can't, you just have to keep it inside. So really, so then I think sort of like both of our pieces come from a place where sort of, you know, we just want to tell someone something about ourselves, yeah. and, you know, and we want people to understand. And I think, you know, theatre as a tool for learning, you know, for learning stuff, it doesn't have to be explicitly, you know, theatre in education, theatre in schools. It can just be a learning platform.
Yeah, it's a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you feel? What's it feel like you being on stage, looking out at the audience? Then, so you've done this. It's come from your heart, both of you.
Yes,
obviously. So you've put yourself in the firing line, the spotlight's on you, and we're all sitting there looking at you. Well, go on, entertain me. But what's it actually like? Does it feel like you are having that release, you're expressing yourself, or does it just feel like, I'm so scared, I've got to be good, and it's just a performance? So, do you know what I mean? Or is it just the writing of the play that's the release, or is it the performance?
Oh, wow. I mean...
getting a bit deep, aren't we?
No, well, I like this. I like this. I mean, I have to say, I think sort of like the first sense of a release is when you do write the piece and sort of, you know, you keep changing things. Like, well, okay, like with mine, fine, it did well in Edinburgh, but I'm still changing it as I go. I'm still, you know, sort of, it's always a growing piece.
Do you find that like the first sentence that you wrote kind of was the bravest you had to be? And after that,
yes.
It's kind of snowballs. You sort of start to grow in confidence. You think, right, this has become the thing now that I can use to say this.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not going to stop. You know, it's kind of, and it gets bigger and bigger. And you change things because you want it to be clearer, or you want to say something that's slightly different.
Do you add things in yourself that aren't scripted now?
Always.
All the time.
Well, I know you do, Willie.
I was brought here under false pretenses. This is awful.
Calm down.
It takes one to know one.
I saw one time up.
Put the gag off. Oh.
I think when it comes down to sort of, you know, that writing, writing something very personal, then like the second sort of, you know, sense of a release is when you do get to perform it. And I think sort of just adding bits in every night, just sort of, I'd say that I add bits when it feels right to add it, and when it feels like sort of a comfortable choice, as opposed to, I want to put this random aspect in, and if it doesn't work, then obviously, you know, that's my fault. But, you know, that's a risk that you take as being a performer. And actually, I think sort of when it comes to, you know, like performing, I think sort of as actors and as writers and as performers, you have that distance anyway. I mean, like, you know that it comes from your heart, but at the same time, you sort of say, well, you know... I'm me, I'm separate from the character that I'm portraying right now.
Yeah.
So you kind of don't really sort of mind what the audience think as long as they have understood something.
Yeah. Okay.
There's also the kind of thing that, you know, by just doing the same thing every night, every single, like, you know, right, taking this thing that you've made, this thing that you've got your ideas on and what you want to do, and doing it the same every night, is basically all you're doing is giving the same message to everyone. Everyone takes every message differently.
Yeah.
By doing it kind of what you feel a little bit on the night and just kind of putting that in, you are essentially, what you're doing is making it tangible. You're making it a real experience. Yeah. You're making things have changed. Things are like, you know, you're not the same as you were a night ago. You're thinking something completely different. Something else means to you something slightly differently than to what it did like another time. Yeah. And people will pick up on that because an audience is, you know, there's a great big bunch of people like yourself, like people you brought along and stuff like that, and you all read certain things. You're all like saying, like, one of you saying like, I understand that, and one of you saying like, why is he dressed up like a pirate, or you know, it's, you know, it's, well, everyone's,
I mean,
everyone's,
I mean, I always ask similar. That question.
It's a big well, you know, it's a lifestyle choice. Yeah,
of course. But one of the
I'm available for hire. Children's parties.
One of the other things was, you know, Noah, you mentioned the emerging talent thing, emerging artist nomination you got.
Yeah.
And that's an important part of why I wanted to chat to both of you as well, because on the Isle of Wight, I say it every week on this programme, basically, it's just astonishing amount of talent on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, for you, as a prime examples of it. Young, good-looking, handsome, well, he is, talented. I hate you both.
relatable for talking about Mr. Thompson there in the corner.
So, where do you go and what do you do now? Because you've obviously proved yourselves already at a comparatively early age to mine. So, so what do you do? Do you stay as sort of part-time performers? Or are you bursting with the talent that you've got and you want to get out there and make some money from it as well, make names? Mm. I'm just curious to know, now you've done this, what are you going to do next? Is the Isle of Wight the place to be, or are you going to have to move? Go first.
I shall go first. It's sort of a difficult one for me because, I love this place. I love it. It is a beautiful place, and there are so many places that people seem to not sort of know enough about where you can go and perform, and put really good shows on. I'm sort of seeing it right now as that sort of that the island is a great place to breed new talent and for people to they can work things out, in terms of are they a good bass player, are they a good drummer, whatever. For me, I'd say sort of right now my next objective is to work out where I can move off to next. And indeed I'm putting some dates and some venues now together for a tour to do around the country. Exclusive, you heard it here first. I'd say as an island it is a fantastic that we have to keep telling people do what you love, just do what you love. I mean I was told that when I was a kid and I embrace it now more than ever. Do what you love. And if I can make some money from doing it, even
all
better
for you.
About you, Ollie?
It's kind of reiterating that point. There's these kind of these hot spots of talent on the island, and I'm not just talking about like the Exchange. I'm not talking about like the various theatres or anything like that. Behind every sort of like house, there's people playing music. There's people kind of wanting to write poetry. There's lots of kind of about the whole thing that here. There's a real kind of onus on kind of with the whole colleges and the schools and sort of like that big kind of varied connection in such a small area, 26 miles across, obviously. There's this great burgeoning kind of like something for it, people get the flavor of what they want to do and what they want to, I want to be a musician, I want to be an actor, I want to write, I want to direct or something, whatever. Yeah. Or make films or it would be interesting for the future if there was this big in this perfect little imaginary scenario, if there was some sort of like big kind of umbrella kind of organization that took like these people who kind of like had this sudden hunger to do stuff, irrespective of age, I don't think that should sort of be any form of boundary. Everyone's got something to say and everyone needs to say it. And then this kind of organization kind of pushes it further and kind of gives people that platform to kind of develop it and gives them a platform to kind of showcase it to not only just people on the island here, but also, get that connection with not only the South, maybe the rest of England and wherever, and it just grows outwards.
Interesting.
Interesting thing. There's also, the need also, from a personal perspective, I would like to make money from this. I would like to go where there is money and where people will take the show and wherever that may be in whatever city. But
okay,
it would be maybe an interesting kind of idea if there was this kind of unifying thing on the island that sort of took these sort of shoots of kind of talent and kind of just
I like
got
that
it out
idea.
There a little
I
bit
like
more.
That idea.
Yeah, that's okay.
Anyway, well said, you two.
Thank you.
The final bit I was going to ask you about was the shameless plug slot here Vectis Radio. Where can people
about time?
Where can people see you next?
Okay,
Nye's ready. Yes. Look, he's got a list.
Well, I mean, it's a very, very tiny list. I am next performing at the Vetner Exchange on the 14th and 15th of October at 8 p.m. That's my only plug I have for now. But
and you're doing your one-man show there?
Yes. It's the show again is called Just a Few Words, a one-man play with a stammer.
Okay.
Come along if you can.
All right. Yeah. Well done. What about you, Ollie?
Haven't really got anything concrete at the minute.
Okay.
To kind of plug. I have got some residencies possibly going on next year at the Exchange.
Yeah.
There's also I've got some contacts kind of wanting to get back to me about a possible slot in Cornwall, so I might nip away for a little bit. You'll find me around probably. You know, just look for the guy dressed as a pirate.
I can't get rid of him personally.
No.
Well, oh god.
Well, you can now.
It's the source of our relationship. Okay, it's just it's a topic in conversation where things go dry. I have to mention it. Okay, it's the tricorn hat in the room.
Help! He's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone.
Right. Well, we'll just let the dear listeners off the hook now. Off the hook. Yes. But thank you both of you for coming in.
I could actually talk
to you for hours about this because I just love the whole subject, as you can probably tell.
No,
we're probably overrun by too far now, but never mind.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. No, thanks to both of you. We'll come in and chat to us again sometime.
Love to. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Ollie and I.